Our Bible reading is from Revelation chapter 6. I believe that's 1237 in the Pew Bibles.
I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as conqueror, bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice amongst the four living creatures saying, "2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages, and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. His rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over the force of the earth to kill by sword, famine and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony that they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe and were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed, just as they had been. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the skies fell to earth, as figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves among the rocks and mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it?" This is the word of the Lord.
Maggie, thank you very much. Well, that's not the easiest of passages. Should we pray for God's help to help us understand it? Dear Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we're conscious that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So we pray the Spirit would speak to us through this passage today. May we understand it, and may it convict us and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me begin by asking a question. Can you remember your first day at secondary school? Now, for some of you, that was a long time ago, but it is one of those days which doesn't, I don't think, slips from your memory. Both Tracy and I were saying we have very vivid memories of that first day. Did you worry about where to go? Who would you be friends with? How would the older children treat you? And maybe it was the excitement of getting the bus or the train to school. We all have different memories. In my day, all I remember is I finished primary school and I went to secondary school. There wasn't a transition or anything like that. I just had to turn up on that first day, and that was secondary school. Now, today, things have changed. In this next few weeks, year sixes, that's the last year of primary school, will head off and spend 2 or 3 days at their secondary school. It's called transition, and it'll be a chance to experience a timetable, meet the teachers, learn what it's like, understand what uniform you need to buy, etc., etc. Those transition days are there to set expectations, to help manage so they know what to expect when they arrive in September. This passage in Revelation has been given to us so that we have right expectations of life now. This letter was written to churches in first century Turkey to help them know what life would be like, what history would be like, and therefore so their expectations were right for when they arrived. So here we are, Revelation chapter 6. Now, if you're joining us for the first time or not been with us for a while, we're in the last book of the Bible. We are in a vision given to the Apostle John, which was then going to these churches in Turkey to help them keep going under persecution from a hostile Roman Empire. It's a book full of revelations, many coming in sevens. We've got seven seals in the book. You have seven trumpets, seven bowls. And we're in the section today of seven seals. So far in this vision, the Apostle John has been allowed to see a glimmer of heaven. God is on the throne. But also on the throne is a lion. But the lion looks like a lamb. A lamb that was slain. We see God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ who died so that we might be his people and might worship him forever. And if you're here last week, you'll know that him who sat on the throne, on his right hand was a scroll with seven seals. A scroll that was full, written on both sides. And there was this important question: who was worthy to open the scroll? Who is in control of history? Because what we're going to see today, as those scrolls are unsealed, so to speak, we get a picture of history. And so this is the question we're asking: who is in control of human history? And we saw last week that is Jesus Christ. And therefore, the question is, what should we expect in human history? What should our expectations be? Today, we're going to open 6 of the 7 seals. This happens often in the Bible, right back in creation. 6 days of action, and then a day of rest in creation. 6 seals today, and then a different 7th seal. And we'll come to that next week. Last comment before we dive into the detail. This is apocalyptic language. If you are someone who likes straightforward facts and detail and logic and legal, you're going to find this rather hard because it's supposed to give us a picture. It's impressionist. People like arty people really love this sort of stuff. It's to give us pictures. It's to build and touch our senses in what we see and feel and think. So what have we got? 6 seals. First, 4 seals are 4 horses. Then we've got Christian martyrs with seal 5. And then a final seal, which I think marks the end of time. So we're just going to walk through the seals. So first one is the white horse. Verse 1. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the 7 seals. Then I heard one of the living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror, bent on conquest. We have here a picture of a white horse, and the rider has a bow, and he's given a crown. And he goes out and attacks other people. He is a conqueror. Now, there is some debate amongst the commentators, but I'm pretty persuaded this is a picture that nations will invade other nations. In other words, some people are going to be rulers and attack other people. And isn't that just exactly what has happened in human history? At the time, it was the Roman Empire. If you know anything about the Romans, they were always intent on conquering more and more lands. And throughout history, empires have come and empires have gone. I had a look on Wikipedia. Largest empires in history, 1920, the British Empire. 1300, the Mongol Empire. 1895, the Russian Empire. 1750, the Spanish Empire. And how did these empires come to be? Because sadly, nations like our own went out and attacked other nations. We did it. The Spanish did it. The French did it. And it still happens today. According to Wikipedia, 17 countries have been invaded since the year 2000. So in the last 23 years, 17 countries have been invaded by another country. And only last year, what did Putin do? He invaded Ukraine. The Apostle John is given a vision of this white horse rider going out, white horse, invading other nations. In other words, saying this is what to expect in human history. Nations will attack other nations. And why did Putin invade Ukraine? It's a question worth asking. Why did we as an empire go and conquer places like Canada and India and Australia? Is it because we want power and wealth and fame and honor? Deep irony of that in the book of Revelation, because who deserves all those four things? Christ, the slain lamb. See, the Apostle John is given a vision of the end of time where there is conquering nations, a reminder that we live in a sinful and broken world. And you read this, you think it is true, and history has proved it right. But next up, we have a red horse, verse 3. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. Note, it's not just red, it's fiery red, is this horse. Its rider has a large sword. And what happens is peace disappears. It seems that this is a picture that there will be those who are intent on causing conflict between people. It was true in the first century, and it's true still today. How many weeks ago was it? Sudan has just broken out into civil war. How many countries have had a civil war in their history? I caught the end the other day of Bear Grylls looking at Who Do You Think You Are? His family history. They traced it back to the Civil War, where one of his ancestors went through the guillotine. Human history has sadly been full of conflict between people. And again, it seems to be it's the same thing. It's where people are intent on taking glory and honor and power and wealth and majesty themselves. And the result is conflict between people. That's the red horse. Next up, we have the black horse. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A kilogram of wheat for a day's wages, and 3 kilograms of barley for a day's wages. And do not damage the oil and the wine." This rider, of course, is the pair of scales. What does the pair of scales indicate? Justice. But then with these prices. Now we read this, a kilogram of wheat for a day's wages, 3 kilograms of barley for a day's wages. Those are crazy prices. If I said to you, it's £10 for 4 pints of milk, you'd be like, oh, that's a bit expensive. £30 now if you want 1 box of cereal. £20 if you want a little pack of butter. See, those prices are 10 times what you'd normally pay. In other words, inflation's gone mad, hasn't it? But of course, the oil and wine are fine, aren't they? Who has the oil and wine? The rich. See, what is the picture of the black horse? There's no justice here. We've got a world with rampant inflation, but where the rich are doing fine. Oh, that's just our world today. BBC article, sugar up 47%, olive oil up 46%, eggs up 37%. Mortgage rates tripled in the last 2 years. But the life for the rich is still good. This was an article in the Big Issue. This is what they said January this year. Almost everyone will see their income slashed in real terms this year and next, except the wealthiest 5%, who will see a nice boost to their bank balance. The Apostle John has been given expectations of our world. This is our world, isn't it? Inflation and injustice. That's our world. That's the black horse. Next up, we have the grey horse. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a quarter of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. This rider has a name, it's death. Hades, or hell, follows behind. See, it doesn't affect everyone this time, but it affects some. What it comes this time? Sword, famine, plague, wild beasts. According to the World Food Programme, 900,000 people in our world today are fighting to survive catastrophic hunger. 900,000 people in our world today are facing catastrophic hunger. March 2023, Guardian article. The number of UK children in food poverty has nearly doubled in the last year to 4 million. According to the Food Foundation think tank, 1 in 5 of households reported skipping meals. I speak to the head teachers of our schools. This is the reality for people in our community. There's famine and plague. Do I need to say anything about COVID? I looked at the government stats. 227,618 people have died with COVID-19 on their death certificate. It is now estimated that 6.8 million people have died worldwide from COVID. The Apostle John's vision, as I've spent time in that this week, isn't this just our world? He gives expectations. This is the broken, sinful world we live in. We can all carry on pretending it's all fine, but we know it's not. It's deeply broken. But there is hope. Let's move on to seal 5. Verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer, until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed just as they have been. See, running alongside this broken world, we have people who've given up their life, been martyred as Christians. We're told they're people who stood up for the teaching of the Bible and for testifying to following Christ. And of course, for the original readers, they would probably have known people who the Roman Empire said, "We don't like Christians, you're arrested, and we'll throw you to the lions." But the world doesn't change. Open Doors 2022. 5,898 Christians, they estimate, died for their faith. 24% increase on 2021. 5,110 local churches were destroyed. 3,829 Christians were abducted. 6,175 victims held without trial. 24,678 subject to beatings, death threats, and other abuse. 6,449 homes or businesses attacked. And 3,147 Christian women targeted for rape or sexual harassment. Yeah, it is happening today. The Apostle John gets a vision of the reality. But there is a hope here. Some will lose their life for following the word of God. But did you notice the hope in that passage? Each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer. See, God is patient. There is a day when he's going to wrap up this world. That's seal six. But he's patient now, because now is the moment, according to the Bible, when we wait for Jesus Christ to return, for people to turn back. The Apostle Peter writes, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." This is a time for coming back to the Lord in our broken world. Because seal six, the Lamb will one day return. Verses 12 to 14, "I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth, as figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place." This is a picture of the end of time. Joel and Isaiah, Old Testament prophets, spoke of this day. When the Lamb returns, the day of judgment comes. Justice will come for all those horrors that we've spoken about in Seals 1 to 4. Verse 15, "Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else." It's not just the rich, everybody here. "Both slave and free, hid in caves and among the rocks. They called to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide from us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it?'" See, there is this sense at the end of time, there is a day of horror as Jesus Christ comes back and says, "I'm done. Justice is coming now." It's not Advent, but this is Advent language. But there is good news. Because who can stand on the return of the Lamb? If you were here last week, you know. Who is the one who by his blood purchased a people to reign with him forever, to be a kingdom and priest, to serve him forever? Jesus Christ. The Bible says, cling to the Lamb. We'll learn more about that next week. He is the one who will one day restore all things. The book of Revelation ends in a wedding banquet as Jesus Christ, the bridegroom with his bride, the church, come together for the great marriage. I began by talking about days at secondary school. Feels very trivial now, but on one level, we prepare children for that. God has prepared us for now and for the end of time. Friends, nation will invade other nations. There'll be conflict between people. There'll be inflation and injustice. There'll be plague and famine. People will be martyred. But one day the Lamb will return. There will be justice. Cling to the Lamb. Let's pray. Father, these are complicated passages, but they are so true. The picture given here is our world. So thank you for preparing us. And Father, we ask that we might cling to the Lamb, to Jesus Christ, this day and every day, who purchased us by his blood. Amen. Well, we're going to stand and sing.